The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we will be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
All righty, we are back. And folks, yes, indeed, I am the voice of the Christian resistance. And this, indeed, I am Pastor Ernie Sanders. And folks out there, listen. Those and those listening at markets, we have done all that we can. And I mean, when I tell you this, I mean, I can tell you, we really have done all we can. But we haven't got the response that needed from the people out there. Apparently, well, let me tell you what I have gotten. Several times I've gotten people that have called me and said, Pastor, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I'm ashamed to say I've never once supported you, okay? And this will be my first time. I'm going to send in a donation. Well, that's good, but I can tell you this. It don't look good as far as those areas go, but we are getting people now that are making it very clear that when they send in a donation from Denver or Portland or Little Rock or Atlanta or Orlando or Tampa, that's where it's coming from. But for you folks out there listening, just ask yourself this. Are you listening? Are you benefiting from this radio program? Are you being informed about things you really need to know? Have we been doing that? Well, in fact, we've been doing the very best we could. And I can tell you this. I can honestly say, in the last 50 years, I have run a good race, I have fought a good fight, and I've held back nothing. And again, I just wanted to say for you folks out there, we've done all that we can do. It's up to you to keep us on. You've got 14 days left. And our address is WRWL Ministries, or just WRWL, 14781 Sperry Road, 14781 Sperry Road. Again, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, that's N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio, 44065. I know I've had ladies calling me crying, saying, you know, please don't go off the air. I listen to you every night. And listen, boy, I appreciate that. Listen, We love you folks. You can bet, I'll tell you what, when you send in your prayer requests, and sometimes we get a pile of foot high, we pray for every one of them. And again, I just want to say, it's up to you. Now, it's up to you folks out there in those areas. You can keep us on. I mean, if you do it, if enough of you want us on, we'll stay on. But it's got to be up to you. You've got to support us. You can go to our website, wrwl.org, wrwl.org, and it can tell you all the different ways you can support us. I hope that you do. It won't be the end of the world if we do go off in your area. You can still listen to us on the Internet. But if I would encourage you to do this, all of you, in those areas, in those before we do go off there, to at least, if you don't get our newsletter, you really should get the newsletter. It's free. It don't cost you anything. And it'll still help you to stay informed. At least you'll be semi-informed on some of the things that's happening that you need to know. And with that, I want to say tonight, at the helm, our producer is Kyle.
Hey, say Pastor.
Hello. Hey, Kyle. And then we have with me my co-host, my old buddy for many, many years, the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
You're giving our ages away, but that's all right. I'm here ready to go to work.
And then we have, like a rose between the thorns, someone that's much, much younger than Joe and I, none other than Miss Wendy Wilson.
Good evening, Pastor Joe. How are you? I'm good.
Okay. Well, we've got a whole lot to do. Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
God's Word versus Man's Opinion on Who is a Jew.
All right, so here... it started out, there was an argument between two folks. It got into about who is a Jew. And there were some of the questions we talked about here. There were people starting out, and some of the statements that were made in the weekend here are things that really people should know better. I mean, to even have to ask this, but of course they don't. And some of those questions are a little... are things like, well, let me just go back and read a little of my commentary. Maybe that'll help out. Okay, there are those that believe that the Jews can do no wrong. In fact, we talked about John Hagee. There are those that believe that the Jews can do no right, the so-called Reverend Wright. And my old friend Tex Mars, who has gone home to be with the Lord, there are those that believe that there are no real Jews at all, but all are half-breeds, like the Samaritans, the Herodians, and the Khazars. Then there are those that believe that all professing to be Jews are Jews. Then there are those that believe that we should not witness to the Jews because they're saved by their lineage and by just being Jews. John Hagee happens to be one of those. He preaches that you don't need to witness to the Jews because they're saved by being Jews. There are those that believe that the church has replaced Israel and that we're spiritual Israel. Covenant or replacement theology teaches that. There are those that believe that Jesus was not a Jew. Actually, Tex Martin and Jeremiah Wright again. There are those that believe that all born-again Christians have a Jew living inside of them. There are those that believe that Hebrew is the language of heaven. There are those that believe that, again, like I said, the Jews can do no wrong. And that's where we started. So we're going to pick it up where we left off. And we left off with there are those that believe that Jews don't need to be saved, that they're saved by lineage. And let's start tonight in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Joe, would you read verses 1 through 10?
Sure, will. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Okay, so now here, you know, throughout the Bible, there's many, many names. Jesus referred to himself in many different names. He was mostly the Son of Man, but he's also the bread of life. He's the light of the world. Remember, he's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd.
He's the good shepherd.
He's the resurrection and the life, the way and the truth and the life. He's the vine. And so here, Jesus is the door. What does that mean, that he's the door?
He's the way in. He's the way to heaven.
Right. Now, the only way to the Father, salvation to the Father. Now, he says he's the porter. What does that mean, he's the porter?
He's the one in charge of when the gate is opened or when it's shut.
He's the one that opens the door. So remember, and so he's the good shepherd. He's the one that opens the door. Now, here, when he says those that have come before him, the hirelings are what? Today, if I would say, Joe, who are the hirelings of today? What would you say?
Oh, let's start with the prosperity preachers, and there'd be a whole long list, but I'd start there.
Okay, why?
Because they're not true shepherds. They're there to make money. They're there to be famous. They're there for every reason but to serve the Lord and obey him.
So would you say Kenneth Copeland cares more about the people that he preaches to, or he cares more about the money that he gets from them?
The money he gets from them.
Okay. Wendy, you just jump in. You have a question or a comment, just jump in.
I will.
And so what about the prosper or the apostate preachers? Would you say that they're hirelings too, Joe?
Yes, definitely.
Who would you categorize as the apostate preachers?
Oh, I can't. There's a couple of names, but one of them would be Rick Warren.
All right. Well, he's more into the, but he would be more into
both.
The prosperity line now.
Yeah. I guess he's both, isn't he?
Yeah. How about the United Church of the Antichrist, which is called the United Church of Christ? What about the Episcopalians?
The Episcopalian, the Church of England. In fact, the Church of England just ordained its first non-binary priest, they say, which is a joke because it is neither. The person is neither a priest nor non-binary, but that's irrelevant.
Well, we're going to be talking about that because you have one of the articles we're going to be talking about is in the military now. Allowing these non-binaries, or if you will, these men who are having days that they're having days that they feel like they're women, to take showers with the women, and the female soldiers have no recourse. But we'll talk about that later. Let's see.
Well, the same. You've got the women who claim to be men are taking showers with the men, and they still have their female organs. So it's an interesting problem.
Well, Joe, we've always had that, you know, that in the military. Those are the wealthiest people in the military. Those women who know how to get in the shower with the men in the military. You had during.
Yeah, so we used to call them the donut dollies.
Yeah. Okay. You had. They're the wealthiest people there. They know, but also they always end up, it seems like they always end up with some kind of VD or something. It always ends bad for them. But remember we had, during Desert Storm, 35,000 women in the military got pregnant out of wedlock.
Right. And, remember, they had the big aircraft carrier that couldn't launch because so many of the crew were pregnant, they couldn't launch the ship.
Yep.
They had to replace all the pregnant women.
And so, they've always had that in the military. There's always been different standards, too. They were never held up to the same standards as the men in the military. In other words, they could get, would always easier on them for doing the same things if the men did. The men got punished harsher. And the men didn't mind that so much because they were women. But today, they've weakened our military so bad. Our military is so weak by they've had to lower the standards to, we're not the military we used to be. All we are is a lot of propaganda. Turn to John chapter 3 and read verses, if you will, 1 through 6.
John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Okay, now here. So he's telling, when he says this, now there are those that say that Jews don't need to be born again. Now, was Nicodemus a Jew?
Well, it said right there, a man of the Pharisees. That would be, must make him a Jew if he's a leader of the Jews. He must be
a ruler of the Jews, wasn't he?
Ruler, yeah.
Okay. And so, here now, he's coming, and he said, Jesus, verily, verily, he says, you've got to be come from God. You've got to be because of the miracles that you do. And Jesus said unto him, why do you think that Jesus responded that way? Do you think that Jesus perceived and knew exactly what he was going to say before he said it?
Sure. He knew every thought Nicodemus ever had, let alone what he was getting ready to say.
Okay, so
he came because he was searching. He had questions. He had a need to know the truth, but he came at night to so that no one else would know he was there.
Well, Nicodemus says, "Can a man fit a second time into his mother's womb?" You don't think he actually meant that, do you?
No, he was confused, but it was this born-again thing, you know. He couldn't come up with a good answer. He didn't understand this spiritual thing, but Jesus made it quite clear, you know.
Was it a common practice, Joe, in those days to for the Jews especially to answer a question with a question?
Yes, that was the method of the day.
So,
rabbis and being a Pharisee, being a member of the Sanhedrin, that would be very common usage for him.
It would have been kind of rough on a woman to have that a man back into her womb, wouldn't it, Wendy? Wendy, Wendy?
It would have been interesting.
She was trying to think of some way to put it where she didn't say a bad word.
Well, Wendy's had children, so she knows what it's like to be pregnant. I would just, yep. she might have yeah. been, She might have thought about that herself.
Yeah, and that's with a 10-pound bowling ball. Can you imagine a 150-pound?
Yeah, you're telling me. Okay. So now he goes on, and he says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. There are those that teach that being born of the water means baptism. Is that what he's talking about?
Yes,
I don't
being
think
baptized.
So.
No, you're not.
No, when you're born, you come out with a lot of water.
That's exactly what he's referring to. How do you know this? Well, here's what he says. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter to the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he's telling you, being born of water is being born of flesh, huh?
Right.
Okay, so there you go. So then Nicodemus understood that he had to be born again too, just like the Gentiles, huh?
And well, so, yes, yeah. I mean, Jesus said, he made it quite clear, unless a man, he didn't say unless a Jew, unless a Gentile, he said except a man, and he meant man, a woman, you know, in that sense.
So we all get saved the same way, don't we?
All of us, male, female, he didn't, any color, any race, nothing mentioned there except your humanity.
All right, absolutely. I'm going to make a few announcements very quickly here before we go to the break. And one of them is that this coming, I got to flip it over. Okay, this coming Sunday at Doors of the Word Church at 4 p.m., we're going to be showing the film there in the class that we have, The Bible and Current Events. Lara Logan and Shasha Latapova. Now, we've talked to you. We give you last night. We just showed you a short clip. We're going to show you the entire thing. And this way you can actually see the documentation showing you that the Department of Defense is behind this whole COVID thing and that they've exempted themselves from. And this is where Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and all of these drug companies have to report directly to the Department of Defense, folks. They're the ones that are in charge of depopulating our country. And people need to know this. And that's why we're here. Then I'm going to ask folks out there, and I'll do it again a little later on. Now, the regular service now on Sunday nights, our regular service has been moved up from 6 to 5. We've moved it up to 5 p.m. Now, also, I'm going to ask you to do this. Okay. Joe, we're going to, well, you know what, let's go to the break, and then when we come back, we'll pick up on this very quickly. So take us to the break.
Words, my everlasting words, my words have brought you here. And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me. Never pass away. My words are here to stay. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words will never go away. Words, my words are what I use to turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me.
Alrighty, Joe D, they just had a vote on the Born Alive baby bill where the House just voted and every single Democrat, every Republican voted to those babies that survived abortion, that survived an attempted murder on these innocent children by the most gruesome, vile, evil, wicked people that ever lived. Those babies that survived that, there was a bill that we've had passed that says that they must be, once they've survived, you must do everything you can to let them live. And they just took a vote on that. Every single Deathocrat, or Democrat as they call themselves, with the exception of two, Joe.
Two, right. And both from Texas.
Yeah, both. One voted not... present. The other voted
no.
No. Okay.
Just one no vote.
One no vote. Now the bill did pass through the House. Now, Joe, what I'm going to ask the people to do out there is I'm going to ask them to call the Congress. Meanwhile, Joe, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20, Joe, and be ready to read verses 11. Through 15. Be read it to verses 11 through 15.
Okay.
Okay, Revelation 20. Now, folks, I'm going to ask you to call your, all of you folks out there, even if you're not in an area, but call a Democratic congressman. And whatever ones you know, call them. I'm going to give you that phone number. Every Democrat that you know, congressman, I want you to do this. Okay, now listen. I would love to give them, I would love to be able to lock them in a place where they couldn't get out. The entire Democratic House, I would love to do this, to where they could not get away, and preach them to their hair caught on fire. Preach them heaven sweet, hell hot. And I would tell them, and I would tell them this, that here is what God has said, that people like you that are so evil and so wicked, okay, because of your works, you're going to end up in a burning lake of fire. And I would tell them that unless you repent, you will burn in a lake of fire. You will burn in hell forever. That's what I would tell them. Now, that's what I want you folks to do. You got to have guts. Now, look, again, don't expect your prissy preacher to do this. They don't have the courage. They just don't. Some of them do. I want to just, let's say this. Praise the good Lord for that small percentage of men of God out there that are men of God, that do have the courage and will stand up, okay? But I want you to call these congressmen, these Democrats, and tell them that they're on their way to a lake of fire where they'll burn in hell forever. I want you to do that. Just that you've got the right to do that. You've got to get real. We're living in a world right now, there's been such a dearth of courage, such a dearth. And maybe if the Republicans see that you have courage, and maybe if the prissy preachers see that you have courage, it might encourage them a little bit. It might give them a little backbone. Now, and then I want you to call the Republicans, congressmen, the Republican congressmen, and tell them thanks for voting the way they did on that bill, but also to impeach Joe Biden. He's a wicked, evil man to impeach Joe Biden. Joe, would you go ahead and would you read verses 11 through 15, sure. Revelation 20?
I want to add one thing to what you said. When I make the call, I'm going to tell them you will send yourself to the lake of fire. Because of their works, you will send yourself, is the way I would like to phrase it.
All righty.
Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The dead in hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Now that phone number that you would call, as this is the House, and just ask for your congressman, just ask for, is 202-224-3121. Again, that phone number that you would call is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Wendy, Miss Wilson, what interesting information do you have for us tonight? Hey, Wendy. Is Wendy with us?
I'm sorry, my phone, I had to switch phones. I'm going to ask you to pick the topic. Do you want to talk about bones, keeping them healthy, and what you can avoid to make them sick, or do you want to talk about more evidence of cancer cures?
Oh, boy. See, more evidence of cancer cures. That's a good topic. It's
okay.
Better than that. You know, you don't really want to talk about old bones. It makes Joe upset.
Especially when you've broken a bunch of them.
Sorry, Joe.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Buckle up. Okay, so, you know, Pastor, as time goes on, you know, we're seeing more and more come out of scientific medicine, and they absolutely know that there's cures for cancer and they exist, but they refuse to use them or promote them. Now, basic nutrition is really the key for the cancer issue, and most ailments, really. But unfortunately, eating your vegetables, your fruits, spices, herbs, they don't make healthcare a whole lot of money, do they?
None.
No.
None.
So they don't even make
the farmers a lot of money.
Right. So if such natural therapies diminish the healthcare profits, then natural health therapies become a target and they get attacked. In November 2013, Louisiana State University published a study showing cancer can be defeated with plant nutrition. I thought maybe we'd talk about this. This was according to Professor Mahawa Rajay. He's a doctor of obstetrics and gynecology at Health Science Center in New Orleans at the cancer center there. He says there are at least six natural compounds in your vegetables, your fruits, your spices, and your herbal plants that kill breast cancer cells by 100%. What do you think of that?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'll take 100%.
That's kind of big news.
Well, I mean, you know the cancer diet. If you want cancer, you want to eat donuts, fast foods, you know, all the things that have been super processed. So he's talking about live nutritional elements, photochemical elements in your fruits and vegetables and whole grains, nuts, seeds, herbs for medicinal purposes. So there are really no residual cancer cells, he says, to worry about when you eat these foods, because the plants kill every shred and leaves nothing to continue to grow. So you ever hear about people that go and, have the standard cancer treatments, and then in 2 years the cancer's back. That's because they don't kill all the cancer. See.
In fact, so, most of the cures I've heard, Wendy, were people who went on diets with natural foods with and eliminated the processed foods and things.
Well, and you also hear
about that for years.
Yeah, and you also hear those stories about the nitrilocide, the vitamin B 17, where people were eating, you know, apple seeds and stuff, and they got
apricot seeds, apricot seeds, apple seeds.
Yeah. So basically, foods are your medicine, and Hippocrates said that. So, so basically, he also says, in addition, there's no toxicity when you're using natural plant compounds, and normal healthy cells are not negatively impacted at all. Now, this research was published in the November 2013 Journal of Cancer. Now, you would think a Journal of Cancer certainly is reading material for your cancer physicians, your oncologists, wouldn't you think?
Well, you would have thought that, but nowadays, who knows, you know? Not so much.
So, yeah, I know. So, but can you imagine your oncologist reading this article, and then the next day they go into work and they're whipping out their prescription pad, listing foods containing compounds to cure their cancer patients? I don't think that's happening.
No, it's not.
So, sadly, this is not what we see, because doctors are taught to prescribe pharmaceutical drugs, and modern medicine has become a don't bite the hand that feeds you industry. And according to the research, the scientists had to admit that their standard drug therapies for cancer were not saving patients. Here is what Dr. Rajay, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Health Science Center in New Orleans Cancer Clinic, says. One of the primary causes of both the recurrence of breast cancer and death is a small group of cancer stem cells that evade our treatment. The multi-drug treatments cause the cells to become resistant and then can regenerate new tumors. So if we are going to save lives, it is critical that we develop new approaches that are effective and safe treatments to treat and prevent breast cancer. So he's being real here, realistic. He understands what we're doing is not saving lives. And any oncologist that's honest with you will admit that. Now, I know people are out there saying, well, I know people that are cancer-free for years. Well, there are the anomalies there, but for the majority of people, if you really look at the statistics, they die within 2 to 5 years of being cancer-free. So that's the sad reality. So what they're doing, Pastor, is they're testing nature. The research said that they tested 7 plant compounds that provide chemical nutrition found in foods such as your broccoli, grapes, apples, tofu, turmeric root, cumin or turmeric, spirulina. And what they found was these foods contain isoflavones, resveratrol, C-phytocyanin, quercetin, and 3-indole-3 carbinol. So these nutritional elements are commonly found in your vegetables, fruits, spices, medicinal herbs, and teas. And when you're testing them on breast cancer cells, if you test them individually, Dr. Raja said they work better. They observed in combination that the compounds were not effective. So they're individually, but they worked when they were paired together. So individually, you didn't get the effect you were looking for. So in other words, they're isolating these photonutrients and they're testing them one at a time, but they don't work. But when you keep them in their whole food state, voila, they work. Isn't that great?
It is. But let me ask you this. Isn't it better to also, along with that, go after what causes the cancer? Joe, do you remember about 20 years ago, it's been about that long, we had a lady doctor, very pretty. She looked 20 years younger than she was, and she was a trauma doctor, but she had written several books, and she did a lot of research on cancer, especially breast cancer and uterine cancer, and she said that what was happening was that the makeup, the makeup that women have been using for a lot of these years actually causes, there's agents in that makeup, Wendy, that settles in their breasts, in the fat in their breast, and that was one of the things that her research said caused breast cancer. And
that's
so
interesting. You know, I read some other research out of Japan, and the Japanese women didn't have breast cancer until after World War II when milk products were introduced to them.
Yeah.
So they never really ate or consumed cow's milk there. Okay, they didn't eat cheese, they didn't eat yogurt. Actually, my mother lived in Japan for 2 years prior to the 1960s, and she was 5'3", and back then she said she was kind of the tallest person walking down the street. Okay? But she said she had a housemaid who spoke perfect English and translated things for her, and she said that Americans smell like milk to them. So they even smell it through the skin. When you consume milk, you smell different to them. And so they just weren't accustomed to consuming cow's milk. And I heard this also from another research team out of the UK that said cow's milk should be avoided because it does promote cancer.
Huh.
Isn't that something?
Now, does that... excuse me. Everybody gives their children cow's milk. I think if I was to go up there and to tell my wife not to give my grandson cow's milk, I think she would give me a really strange look. Okay.
Well, and you know, I was talking to Pastor Butch Paw today, and he chose the topic of bones, and that's the one thing you're taught, isn't it? You know, if you want strong bones, drink milk, right? Well, there's a whole bunch of research out of Germany, Helmholtz Zentrum Research Center. Scientists there said that, no, cow's milk doesn't give you strong bones.
Huh.
Yeah. So basically, it's a very mucusy-producing food, and these days, the milk is not like it used to be, 50 or 70 or 80 years ago, because they've done so much to it now. They process it. The cows are injected with, you know, serums, and so a lot of that works its way into the milk. So you're drinking a really, in my opinion, a polluted soup, because you got growth hormones in there, you got antibiotics in there, and they homogenize and pasteurize, and it's a flash heating process, so it kills all the healthy flora but leaves all the bad. So it's a really Dr. Mercola tested different milk products from different companies, and he said you're consuming anywhere from 4 to 6 drugs in a glass of milk.
Well, out here where I live, we have a large Amish community, and they don't give their cattle any of those antibiotics or any of those things.
Right, so that milk probably totally different. Yeah,
we drink the raw milk out here for that very same reason, and one of them was you drink that whole raw milk, and the fats and things that are in the milk are too big to pass through the body and are actually passed out. Most people that drink homogenized, pasteurized milk get more fat from non-fat than we get from real whole milk right straight from a cow. Because of the size of the fat in the milk. And for years, country folk, raw milk is the best, but the government tries to ban it. They go after the Amish, the Mennonites. They go after anybody in rural America that tries to sell raw milk. And they claim because of health, but they've never had any facts to show people get sick, die, or anything else from the raw milk products on the farm. But they don't like the competition. They want to control, and everybody's supposed to do what the government says. Kind of goes back to vaccines, everything else. They know better than we do, right?
I got a question that neither one of you can answer. Can you tell me one thing that the government can't screw up? That's what
God's
I thought.
Word. Well, they can try, but
they have
everything. It'll stand forever.
Everything that they get into, they mess up, and they don't want to, believe me, they want no part of the Word of God. But they're going to get more of it one day than they want, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they will hear some words they do not want to hear.
Absolutely.
So, Wendy, I remember years ago they sent milk to Africa where the people there, like in Japan, didn't drink milk and made the baby sick and everything, and they ended up using the powdered milk that was sent to whitewash their fences or something. But I remember reading about that at the time, but they were saying that different cultures were used to different foods, like the children in Mexico eat a lot more hot things that American child couldn't tolerate. And they were saying that some cultures that grew up with milk were totally fine and happy. It was the different cultures responding to their diets that were in different parts of the world. And
right.
I wonder if that had anything to do with it, rather than the milk itself. It's the culture where you start as a baby, you know, using milk and dairy products, especially the way they came that God intended, you know, raw milk from a cow.
Well, they've actually done some research in the United States, and where mothers who introduced cow's milk to infants too early, those children had a higher risk of having food allergies during life. See, cow's milk is designed to put 800 pounds on a calf really fast. That's what it's for. And we didn't get into consuming cow's milk until man had a famine of some kind, okay? So we're not and it's a very mucousy type of food. So it coats the digestive tract with a lot of mucus. It bogs the detoxification process down. So it's one of the number one food allergens. Wheat and dairy or cow's milk are the two big allergy foods. So,
I heard that goat's milk. I heard that goat's milk is much better for you.
Well, that's a different protein. Some people who are sensitive to cow's milk don't have the sensitivity to goat's milk, so that's an option. Personally, I just stick with the nut milks because they don't have the mucus in it, and they've done wonders with nut milks today, so it's not like you're going to miss anything. They even have ice cream and yogurt and stuff. And,
well, you said two things, milk and something else?
Yogurts.
Oh, okay, milk and yogurts. Okay, and we're told yogurt was a wonderful, healthy food.
Let me ask you this, Wendy. Let me ask you this. What about today? What about mother's milk today? My mother used to always tell my sisters and that to nurse their babies, to always nurse
right.
their babies.
Right.
And my mother was a pretty smart woman. Okay. What about mother's milk today? Is mother's milk today, because of all of what's happening, is it still good or not?
Well, mother's milk does help baby with the antibodies. The first 3 days of nursing, the milk doesn't even come through. They're getting antibodies. Instead, it's this brown substance that comes through. That's the first thing. Yep, the first thing they get. And mothers do transfer immunity to the baby through that. So, and it also helps prep the baby's digestive tract. So they have done studies and they've done IQ reports and stuff. It does, the mother's milk does help the baby's brain development and so forth. So, yeah, the breast milk is more geared to their digestive system. If you start adding those really hard proteins in milks, you know, animal milks too soon, they seem to struggle a little bit. Kids get constipated, especially. That's an indicator. So try to nurse as long as you can, because there's lots of studies that support that's the right thing to do.
Why is it that some women don't want a nurse, that they would rather have that artificial milk?
I think some people, not all, but, you know, some of the people I've talked to, they're worried about, you know, it would, you know, change the shape and form of their breasts, and they don't want to have saggy breasts. I think vanity's the number one thing.
No kidding. That's a kind of, that's really a silly. That's what exactly what it is. It is vanity, isn't it?
Well, you got to remember the world runs on sex in this world. If you look at anything or advertising for, I don't care if it's fruits and vegetables, sex sells. It's in anything. And look at the, Kardashians and all those women that sell makeup, that, you know, models. Everybody, they make millions, billions of dollars. And basically, they're selling sex and makeup.
You're not running on sex, are you, Joe?
Well, the other thing, Pastor. The other, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Hey, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I can hear you.
About, the other thing about breastfeeding, it is a bit of work. So you have to sit and nurse the baby several times a day. And some women are career women, and so they're either forced to put the baby on formula or they're having to pump breast milk and store it in the fridge. So it is work. It is work. So if you're breastfeeding, you got to take at least a half hour to nurse the baby.
Yeah.
And it's also time to bond with the child. And everything I've ever heard, God's way is always the best. And that mother nursing seems to work better than anything. Less illness, less problems, less allergies, and the children are close to their mothers and fathers.
Well, in actuality, that's what breasts were actually for. They weren't, in the beginning, silicone containers. They were actually made. Okay, so, but anyhow, and I know that's what some of those big controversies were about women breastfeeding their children, but in restaurants and that. And I know there was a couple of big battles because women were firemen, and they were breastfeeding their children, and some idiots wanted to sue them for doing that. Somewhere along the line, common sense is taking a real hard hit in this country, and
I've got a book called "The Death of Common Sense," the funeral that very few people showed up to.
All right, we're going to be going to the break. We're going to be going to a break, and then when we come back from the break, we're going to be listening to a clip. And this clip, it's called "The Game Is Over, Traitors." Now, I think this is a clip that's kind of really refreshing to me. And so once we get back, we're going to listen to this clip, and then we'll have both of you two do some commentary on this clip. What do you think of that?
Yep.
Okay, and then so in between now and then, I wanted to tell folks out there listening, what God's Word in the Bible says is true. I can do something Wendy can't. I can say this, that natural herbs will cure your disease. Natural herbs can cure your disease. Now, the reason I can say that is because I'm a preacher of the gospel, and God's Word right here in front of me says that these herbs were given for the healing of the nations, okay? Now, Wendy, in her business, you can't do that. But I can tell you what you can do. You can call 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and you can get her catalog, or you can go to thepowerherbs.com, and you will find out just exactly what natural herbs can do. So hang tight. We're going to be back right after this with a very interesting clip. Don't go away. More to come.